Welcome to Shuffling Deadcast, the ShufflingDead.com podcast. I'm your host, Noobs, editor-in-chief of ShufflingDead.com. Joining me, as always, is Shuffling Deadcast co-host, Salsi. Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
As always, on Shuffling Deadcast, we like to start out with our listener feedback segment.
Yeah.
So you may recall last week we had a very exciting moment. It was our first
First contact
from a listener. Not unlike first contact from a Vulcan as a recovering species following World War III.
Interesting.
We got an email from someone we were calling Ness or Nessie.
Yeah.
And he called us, smug bastards, I guess. Was not happy with our pro Mario anti Sonic.
Favoritism.
Yeah. Fanboyism. And we had a lengthy discussion about that. And it turns out that the person who emailed us had also commented on our YouTube videos. I suspect that's how he found us. And we're going to rename this person FalcoVeslion20. Is that how you would say that?
FalcoVeslion.
FalcoVeslion. Leon? 20?
Let's just call him Leon. Or no.
Let's call him Falco. Oh, it's Falco versus Leon.
Oh, God, this is so embarrassing.
How did
we have to cut that.
Falco. Now, obviously this is a Star Fox reference. Falco being a member of Star Fox. Leon being a member of Star Wolf.
Which was a question on our trivia.
Which, at Nerd Olympics, which we'll get to shortly. Anyway, Falco versus Leon had quite a bit to say in response to our response. I don't think we need to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
But
it's a very nice letter this time, though. Very long,
right.
And he sounds very intelligent.
Do we have any highlights here?
I probably wouldn't call you smug bastards and have been in the joke if it weren't for the fact that you presented yourself as smug bastards in your Q&A videos by saying that your opinion is the only one in the games industry that really matters.
That's right.
If that's supposed to be a joke because you said he was taking it too seriously, then it's one that people can really take seriously since it was used just after entering a bunch of badly spelled comments from obvious haters and trolls.
That was one of our user feedback videos that we did.
Was that your Indie Music?
Myself and Indie Music in our SDGR game review videos. We did a couple of kind of viewer response segments where we would pick out the most ludicrous insults we had received and then poke a bit of fun at our haters and be smug bastards on purpose. So, I guess ultimately, yeah, we were having a laugh at the haters. And, yeah, in that video we said we have the only opinions that matter. We were really just being sarcastic. I mean, I think, I always hoped that this was borne out over the course of our SDGR videos, was that we don't take ourselves very seriously. I mean, I think if you look at some of our videos, we've got one in particular where we review Wave Race 64, and we have a lengthy discussion about the lack of realistic breast physics in the game, and we really rag on it for that. Well, obviously, we don't care at all about that. It's an N64 game. We were not actually, lodging a serious complaint based on the lack of breast physics. We were just joking around, kind of trolling the trolls. So, that's kind of the bottom line here.
I guess it just shows how important it is to always close your S tags when you're talking.
That's right. Maybe we should talk for a moment, Salsi, about the fact that ShufflingDead.com and the videos we do, it's a humor site.
Yeah, I didn't even know that till the other day.
Which I find a little bit concerning. Salsi,
what were we talking about?
I don't know, but somehow I was like, you do understand that Shuffling Dead is a humor site, don't you?
Oh, it was the Olympics. Because the Luge guy, he died. And I was like, oh my God, you have to cover this. Because I went into work that day. And they were watching the video. And I was like, oh, it's breaking news. And you're like, no, I couldn't cover that. Because I don't want to make fun of him. Because he died and everything.
Right, exactly.
And I was like, why would you have to make fun of them? Just post the news. And you're like, no, it's a humor site.
Right, exactly.
I was like, what?
I mean, I prefer not to shy away from serious issues. We have political stories all the time.
Right.
But it's always kind of under the banner of having a chance to make fun of someone I don't like.
Right.
Shuffling Dead is always about making fun of people, talking about funny stories,
well, I guess
making sarcastic
like
comments.
Your love of Star Trek. I mean, you really love Star Trek.
I do.
But, like, I didn't know that you only watched it to make fun of it.
Well.
Kind of the same thing on your site. Like, you, if you don't know that they're just watching to make fun, or watching to, like, laugh at it, you think, oh my god, he's a serious hardcore Trekkie.
Right.
But it turns out there's some other stuff going on underlying that.
Well, look, I do love Star Trek, and I've watched it all. I don't think you could watch it just to make fun of it.
Oh my god, you lied to me again.
No, look. I love Star Trek. I've watched all of it. Multiple times, in fact. But the truth is that there's a lot to laugh at. There's a lot of cheesiness. And as a show, it's not meant to always be taken 100% seriously. You can have a lot of fun with Star Trek and still appreciate it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly make fun of Star Trek on the site, but that doesn't mean that I dislike Star Trek or that I'm trolling Trekkies. I think it's, you know, you gotta be able to make fun of
things that you like.
Even things that you like.
Even Mario?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't think of examples of when we've made fun of Mario, but I would not be afraid to do it. And,
well, that's,
you know, we've poked some holes in Nintendo's business strategies over the course of the site.
Hey, I think this leads us to another very... I think we should start the podcast with this story.
Okay.
Nintendo's breaking news about their very highly anticipated news release thing.
At press conference.
Press conference.
That's right.
Thank
Usually
you.
We do the podcast in order from the oldest stories to the newest, but we're going to skip right ahead to the newest story, in fact.
Breaking news.
Two podcasts, I think, we've talked extensively about this upcoming press conference that Nintendo was going to hold on February 24th, right?
The mysterious.
And we had all these predictions, and we were like, what are they going to do? Is it going to be new hardware? Well, they had it today, and although nothing too earth-shattering was revealed, it was a very solid press conference,
and
I would
more
say
than you expected, I think.
I think so. I was really, you know, despite all of the, oh my god, Wii 2 is coming out, and all of that, in the end I was thinking, oh, here we go. It's going to be like Wii Play 2 and Animal Crossing 4.
Wii Play sucked.
Well, you know what? It was a $10 game with a remote.
Oh,
right?
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think it was that bad for what it was, but how boring would it be if that's the announcement, right?
Yeah, totally. I agree.
But, as it turns out, they came out and they announced release dates for a whole bunch of games that we've been waiting for. Most of them coming out sooner than we expected, I think.
For sure, way sooner. None of them are holiday releases,
no.
And there are some huge titles.
So, this is really exciting to me. It's all stuff that's coming out in the first half of 2010, which means, well, at least I would hope that they've still got plenty in store for the second half of the year. They must have some stuff lined
they
up
must
for Christmas.
Have some big surprises.
So, why don't we run through kind of the highlights that I've already picked out. The DSi XL is coming out here in North America on March 28th, and we'll retail for $189.99 US.
Yeah. Super Mario Galaxy 2 is going to be launched May 23rd, which you're super excited about.
Well, we'll
I still haven't beat the first one, but
let's run through the list and then we'll talk about
all
it.
All right.
Metroid Other M comes out June 27th.
Nintendo's publishing Dragon Quest 9 in the US, or I think all the other games have only been released in Japan.
No, there have been a few.
But anyway, this game will be released summer 2010.
Monster Hunter Tri is coming out April 20th. It's going to have free online and support WeSpeak.
And finally, Sin and Punishment Star Successor launches June 7th.
Right, that's, I think it was just called Sin and Punishment 2 before it kind of got renamed with this. So, I mean, this is awesome.
No new Zelda, though.
No new Zelda. My guess is that they're saving that, they're going to reveal it at E3, and then launch it as their big Christmas game. That's what I'm thinking, because we know it's been in development for some time now, actually. I mean, it's got to be nearing completion. And, as I said, they're not going to have a... You know, they're going to have some big games for Christmas, so that's my guess for that one. The DSi XL, very tempting.
You use a DS, not even light, just a DS,
It's the DS Fat PH.
Yeah.
Or the Brick, as some people like to call it.
So, are you actually going to upgrade, finally?
I've been seriously thinking about it. I would love to check out the DSi store. And, you know, the thing with me is that, although the DS is obviously a portable system, for me, it's mostly ported to my bed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking it on the bus or anything.
You play with yourself in bed a lot?
I do indeed. And although right now I've been playing a lot of GBA games and I'll miss the GBA slot.
What? They might have a virtual console for DSi in their store.
Not yet.
No?
Well, the story behind that is that right now they won't allow actual, like, old... emulated games on the DS store.
So
it's all original software right now. Or, not necessarily original software, like, they kind of chopped up Electroplankton and put it on there. But it's not being marketed as classic games now available on DSi. It's
gotta be coming, though.
I'm sure it will be, because Nintendo has all those Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, and now even old DS games sitting around that could be put up on a downloadable store.
And I think their Wii Virtual Console stuff has been hugely successful.
Yeah, I don't know from a sales perspective if it's that great. They've kind of bungled the Virtual Console in some respects, because although the emulation is really the best around, in that respect, for somebody who wants to play their old games in faithfully emulated with great controls, then yeah. Virtual console is the ultimate. But on the other hand, the games are a little overpriced, and they've been extremely slow in releasing them kind of the last couple of years. They started out strong, but they've slowed to a serious trickle, despite the fact that there's obviously a lot still to come out. Not just from Nintendo themselves, but, you know, like, they announced Virtual Console Arcade, and then they released almost no arcade games on it. So where are all these arcade games? You know, where's all of the Super Nintendo 3D FX games? Like, there's a lot to be released, and they're just not giving it to us. So I'm waiting for those. And, you know, look, I think there are a number of issues. The DSi has a very small capacity for storing these games, so they maybe don't want to load it up
right quite
yet. And I suspect that this will be kind of something that they put on their next, like, a proper new DS system instead of just this iterative hardware, right? And so this is where I'm waffling, is that there's obviously going to be a proper DS sequel coming out. Probably not even that far away. Maybe another Christmas from now or next summer, something like that. I'm waffling. Do you think I should get the XL?
Well, you know what? I think
the screens, I should point out, are like twice the size.
And they say they're like 90% bigger or something.
Yeah.
It's now like 4 inches wide or something. The whole thing. $189.99 US. In Canada, you can buy like a DS for like $150 or $160. So the price is quite reasonable.
Yeah, I don't know what the prices are, actually.
And you know what? The DS is so nice. The DSi isn't hardly any different.
Compared to the light.
Yeah, if the new one comes out and it's totally changed or weird or wacky somehow, you might be glad you went ahead and got the DSi.
Oh, the next DS. Whatever
happens next, yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm thinking about it. But, because I gotta tell you guys, playing certain DS games, the ones that really are, let's say, intense and cause me to grip the system quite hard, like, say, Trauma Center... that thing seriously cuts into my hands. It's got, like, a cutting ridge all the way around it, specifically designed to hurt your hand, I think.
Well, the other thing is, it's got two cameras on it, so...
Yeah, there's fun stuff you can do.
Your M-Love girlfriend... No, Love Plus girlfriend could actually, like, see you, and you could smile at her.
I'm not aware of any Love Plus functionality built in for the DSi, but...
maybe it's coming.
The possibilities are endless, aren't they? Well, let's talk about some of the other news that we've got from this... this conference.
Oh, sorry.
Because we really just talked about the DS. But look,
You need to talk about Mario.
Mario freaking Galaxy is coming out in a month, guys. And no, that's not right. May. How many months away is that?
March, May.
No, you missed April.
Oh, 3 months.
3 months away. It's so soon, guys.
And you've already confirmed the most important part, that it's actually going to be orchestrated.
That's right. So, they showed some new footage at this conference, and by the way, it looks spectacular. But the trailer still lacked orchestrated music, and people were really concerned that they weren't going to bother with it this time. You know, Nintendo's always kind of lazy with, like, music and voice acting. They're notorious for that. See, I'm critical of Nintendo.
Shocking.
But luckily, someone with Nintendo tracked down Matt Casamassina, the famous Asamassina of IGN.com, right afterwards, and reassured him, don't worry, we're getting the orchestrated music. We haven't put it in yet, but we're doing it. So that is a huge relief to me, because that soundtrack is probably my favorite game soundtrack. It is spectacular.
So what other stuff have they added?
Yoshi.
Big news.
Oh, I noticed in one of the screenshots they had the Piantas from Mario Sunshine.
That's right.
I'm really curious what they do with that.
They're just going to stand in the background and wait.
Oh, you're going to be able to jump on them, I'm sure. No, you could jump on the ones in Sunshine. I mean, they weren't enemies. You couldn't kill them.
Right.
But they were quite bouncy.
Well, that's good for Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that there's probably just a kind of a
Pianta probably a whole planet.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be the whole game, but they're in there
Thank
somewhere.
Thank God.
And you didn't like Sunshine?
You know, I got pretty far into Sunshine, but the whole time I was like, I hate this game.
Really?
Other than Super Mario Galaxy, though.
Yeah, so you haven't gotten very far at all in Galaxy.
Which no, I did get pretty far, actually.
How
the
far?
Problem is, I rented it. Like, I didn't have a Wii back then, so I didn't have the motivation to replay all of that again.
Right.
We got pretty far.
You've got a Wii and you've got the game now.
No.
But you don't have your old save.
I don't have the motivation to get back into
Okay. Well, that is pretty much my most anticipated game right now. That is epic. I've said it before, the first Mario Galaxy was my game of the 2000s of the last decade. So, you know, this is obviously a direct sequel. I don't think it's going to blow my mind the way the first one did, but it's still just going to be, I'm sure, incredible amount of fun. So, I'm very excited about that. Metroid Other M, as we said, June 27th. I don't really know how I feel about this. I love the hell out of Metroid Prime 3, but after I beat it, I just thought, man, I could really just use a break from Metroid. They've really been pumping out the Metroid games in the last few years. It's time to chill with the Metroid. Save the next Metroid for the next system. That's my advice. But they've got this coming out. Team Ninja's doing it. I don't know how I feel about it. Apparently, it's going to be in both 2D and 3D. You're going to kind of play with the NES-style control going 2D, but then you can switch to 3D at any time and take on the 3D perspective, turn your Wii remote so that you're kind of assuming the gun position with it and then blasting enemies and exploring that way.
I think that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's an interesting new gameplay mechanic, so maybe I'm wrong, but I don't really have the hype for the game right now because I just feel like I'm all Metroided out.
So they've actually released trailers for Super Mario Galaxy 2, Sin and Punishment Star Successor, and the DSi XL, of course, trailers.
Right.
So definitely check those out, too. You've got some links on your website, shufflingdead.com.
That's right. We should say Sin and Punishment, you know, I was worried for a while, because it kind of disappeared. Like, we were getting promised it was going to be early 2010, and it never came. And here we go, we finally got a release date. It's later than I would have hoped, but hey, I'll take it. I loved the first game. Loved it. I was waiting for years to play it, of course, because it never came out here on the N64. They finally brought it to Virtual Console, and it was spectacular, in my opinion. Some big third-party news with Dragon Quest IX. You know, I don't know if Square Enix was just really hesitant to bring it to the U.S. Like, probably a big job translating it and everything. Despite the fact that it's, you know, been one of the hugest sellers just about ever in Japan. It's a huge success there. And they've been remaking the old Dragon Quest on DS, so it's kind of funny that they're being so hesitant. But I guess hell or high water, Nintendo was going to have it here in North America, and they're publishing it themselves. So that's, hey, I'll take it. And Monster Hunter Tri, another game that we were kind of iffy.
What is Monster Hunter Tri?
This is a huge phenomenon in Japan, more so on the portables than the home consoles. I believe the previous games came out on PS2, they did okay, but then they were ported to PSP, and there's kind of a large, it's kind of like an MMO played face-to-face, where you take down huge enemies working as a team, and you use kind of the wireless multiplayer functionality of the PSP to combat these enemies. It's a huge deal in Japan.
Is it like Pokemon then?
It's a little like Pokemon in that you're trying to take down all these enemies, all these monsters as well. But it's more of the team game. So it's a big deal, and that's why this game has online, because you're supposed to work together, right? In Japan, you actually had to pay for the online for this game.
Interesting.
It's going to be free to play here. I've heard that Capcom is really making a push to make this a big deal game here in North America. And they're really putting the effort in. And Wii Speak support's great, too, because not a lot of games support that. So it's nice to see. Do you have anything else to take away from this?
You think it lived up to all the hype?
Well, you know, the hype was insane. There were people talking about new hardware.
Well, they technically sort of have hardware.
Well, we already knew the XL was coming, right?
But they did announce some hardware. You gotta admit.
Yeah, they had some hardware news. I'm disappointed that they didn't announce the Black Wii. I thought that was...
Aww.
That was something that I thought for sure was going to come out. This, I mean, it's not such a big deal that they should just be holding this thing. Give North America the Black Wii. What's the holdup, right? We have black controllers here now. What are you waiting for? Speaking of which, you can actually get Monster Hunter Tri packaged with a Classic Controller Pro for a limited time, in addition to just getting it without.
Fascinating.
So I think it adds an extra $10 or something to the box.
Right.
Yeah. Lots of good news. Do you have anything to take away?
No, I think that's about it.
Are you excited?
Not so much. There's not too many interesting titles. Hey, you know an interesting title that did come out that I sort of talked about last week?
Tell me about it.
Ragnarok DS. Right. Oh my god, if you played the MMO... It is just like playing the MMO. You have a little three-person party, but you only control one person, but you can set the play modes of the other people. The music, the maps, the little way they set you on your way around Midgard, or Midgard, however it's said, is awesome, and I hope...
Go buy it.
Yeah, go buy it. 17 classes in it. So exciting.
Let's move on to the rest of the news. We're going all the way back to... The end of the last podcast, wherever we left off. Here we go. Tucker Carlson wages war on intellectualism. So apparently somebody did a study. If you look at the study itself, it looks pretty biased. There's some pretty leading questions in there. Anyways, the study basically showed that going to college makes you liberal. And Fox News had a little story about this. This bow-tie jackass Tucker Carlson really got into it, saying that what colleges need is more diversity in the political opinions of professors, saying he need more moderate and conservative profs instead of just liberal profs. Well, fuck you, Tucker Carlson. What's your opinion?
You know what? I have to sort of agree that there might be quite a large liberal bias.
Well, here's my thinking.
But I think it's a good thing.
Specifically, they're talking about socially liberal professors, right?
Right.
And my argument is that professors are the smartest people around. The fact is they've considered issues like abortion, and they've come to the correct conclusion that, yes, women should have the right to choose what they do with their own bodies, that gay people should have the right that everyone else has, which is the ability to marry the people they love. See, this is what I'm getting at. The fact is that this is a false equivalency. The balance between a liberal person and a conservative person arguing on a social issue. Let's be clear, we're talking social issues
here. Right, of course.
Economic issues, it's a whole different thing.
Computer science?
I'm not aware of liberal and conservative computer science opinions. I forget. I'm totally off course now. What was I saying?
You're basically saying Professor would have read classics like the Communist Manifesto.
Oh, I see. You're calling the professors paper
comics. No, I'm not. They've obviously read, if they're at all interested in political, Hobbes and Locke about the threat of what different types of power can do to the state, or to society, I guess, more than even a state.
Right.
And, you know what, I think it might have a liberal bias to everything.
Well, look, I started off this little write-up with Stephen Colbert's famous quote, "Reality has a well-known liberal bias." And, look, it's my opinion that
I'm arguing with you, by the way.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We're both conveying the fact that Tucker Carlson is an idiot together. Right. Reality has a well-known liberal bias. And on social issues, the truth is that conservative arguments basically stem from them being uncomfortable with other people's sexualities and personal freedoms, covering up their ears and going, la, 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 I can't hear you. And there's, back to this false equivalency, it's a false equivalency that a liberal opinion and a conservative opinion on a social issue are equally valid. They're not. A conservative viewpoint on something like abortion is based on religion, on morality made out of nothingness, about traditions that are often ignorant and misled. Yeah, go get bent, Fox News. And this study is just stupid. You know, we spend so, in these podcasts, we've been known to troll on Sonic a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And we've gotten blasted for it.
Right.
But, man, do we troll conservatives hard on this podcast.
We do.
And we have yet to get any political feedback on our show.
There's no conservatives
which
read.
Which I think is hilarious.
You submit it to, like, Dig, Reddit, well, you did for a while, and I don't know the political leanings I've stumbled upon, but pretty much it's liberal.
Yeah, the internet's a pretty liberal place.
Some fake conservative trolls.
We should start posting on just conservative blogs and stuff, and just be like,
you're getting DOS attacks and stuff.
Yeah. I don't want those enemies, eh?
Yeah, you don't want those enemies.
Let's
they will
move.
Come get you.
You might have forgotten already, but it was big news last week. Tiger Woods, he had his little press conference, and he basically said, "All right, I admit it. I cheated. I'm sorry. He was talking to a small group of, I don't know, friends, fans,
yeah,
the media.
Yeah, they didn't really say who he was talking to, eh?
No.
I was like, who the fuck are you talking to, dude?
Yeah, it's
pan the room.
It was a really strange press conference. And I don't know, basically he just said he was sorry a lot, and he's gonna work on not sucking so hard, and he's gonna get back into his religion as though that's gonna do anything. Hey, we troll religious people, where's the hate for that?
Hey, he's Buddhist, you can't hate Buddhists.
Why not? I control Buddhism as much as any other religion. But
it doesn't affect Buddhists, they're just like,
religion is not magic. Look.
No, Buddhism isn't about gods and power, it's about states of minds and might be a little bit of gods and more role models, I think, than gods.
Well, Jesus is a role model to Christians,
but it's more self-centered.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, look, in any case, religion is not going to help this guy. It's going to be
meditate instead of, like, jacking off.
Well, meditation sans religion may very well work. And actually, jacking off would probably work instead of getting somebody else to do it for him. Because if he thinks long and hard about what he's done and how badly he's screwed
and
things up for himself.
And how hot his wife is.
Yeah, really hot wife. You know, maybe he can recover, but...
Here's the funny thing about this story, though.
Yeah.
It was huge news. When we woke up the day that this article was posted, you, like, go to CNN. Everywhere. On the main page, Tiger Woods. On the sports page, Tiger Woods. On, like, technology page, Tiger Woods, because he was on YouTube.
That's right.
Crazy,
somehow they managed to find an angle for this story for every
section
on CNN.
What bigger event is going on right now than Tiger Woods apologizing for his affairs that have happened, like, how many months ago?
The freaking Olympics! Yeah.
I was pretty disgusted.
Yeah, come on, guys. Is Canada really the only country that cares about the Winter Olympics?
Apparently.
It's gotta matter more than this. It's so boring to me. I have not cared about this Tiger Woods story at all since it broke. When I first heard it, I thought, oh, here we go. But the truth is, I thought Tiger Woods kind of a nice guy. I still think he's kind of a nice guy. He just happened to have cheated on his wife a whole lot. He's still, I think you could rightfully say, the most famous athlete in the world.
I don't know if...
Certainly the wealthiest, I think.
Cheating means he should quit as a golf player.
No, that's ridiculous.
Maybe his sponsors might not want to be associated with him,
right.
But why would he quit? Like, that's, like,
separation. I understand that it's quite distracting right now. If, you know, he's going through divorce and
separation. Throwing things in him on the course.
Yeah, so maybe it's a good idea maybe to take a hiatus from golf, but in a little while, you know, I don't see any reason why he can't come back. He's an athlete. It's his job to golf. It's not... Look,
and think of all the, like, hype he has brought golf. Like, the only reason people have, like, people that normally wouldn't be interested in watching golf.
Yeah, he's
are interested
huge
just
because
he's such a good golfer.
Probably the best there ever was. If you cheat on your wife, you don't have to quit your job at the office. Because nobody cares. Your job and your personal life are separate. And I think people getting so worked up about this is just silly. Finally, in conclusion, I care so little about this story. It's so boring to me.
And it was such a huge deal, because it was on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the other angle that a lot of people took with that story is it's sort of evidence of the changing shape of news and entertainment and the way that YouTube works is that YouTube's kind of positioning itself as a broadcaster. They, I guess, showed this press conference live. They've done concerts and things like that live before.
Election.
Election stuff. It's an interesting shift in the way we use the internet and kind of the way it's replacing TV, I think it would be fair to say, or it's sort of merging with television. So
certainly YouTube is covering in part the Olympics, though, and I sure haven't heard anything about front page news about YouTube covering the Olympics like I have about YouTube covering...
Although
freaking...
It would not be hard to come up with a story about,
Tiger Woods.
You know, the loser who died, you know, that video was huge on YouTube, right?
Right.
And that was
kind
of the
place
to go for
it. But I just mean, like, general coverage.
Yeah, nobody cares that the Olympics are all over YouTube.
Anyway, let's move on.
So boring. I don't know why we keep
so
talking
boring.
About it.
Photoshop has turned 20 years old. What do you think about that? Is that not a mind-blowing statement? Wouldn't you think to yourself, now how old is Photoshop, like, 5, 10? It's freaking 20!
20 years old? Honestly, I don't care.
You don't care? Okay. Photoshop has done so much to change the world. Every printed medium on Earth,
yes.
Billboards, magazines, posters,
I'll give
even
you
things like video, because you can use PSDs and stuff like in Sony Vegas.
Yeah.
It's just mind-blowing, and it's so old.
Well, I'll give you that Photoshop is a big deal, but the fact that it's turning 20, what does that matter?
It's a huge landmark. Because everyone just is, well, I assumed it was like...
I'm really curious what the original, a 20-year-old Photoshop was capable of. It was probably still better than Paint. Well, maybe
it probably was.
Maybe it didn't do color.
Actually,
know.
You know what? Wikipedia has a little thing about the first version, so you can sort of read
was
up on there.
Was there color back in those days?
The very first one, it's unknown because the load-up and stuff was all black and white. The screens might have not had color. It was copyright 1989 to 90, so yeah. I don't really know. Max, yeah. So they really were black and white for a long time.
I think so.
You can watch a cool video of John Knoll, brother of Thomas Knoll, and those two created Photoshop together as he talks about Photoshop.
Right. How do you feel about competitors to Photoshop like GIMP?
You know what? Photoshop is the industry standard, and a lot of Linux users are stuck with using things like GIMP because you can't get Adobe Photoshop for Linux unless you run some sort of Windows emulator. Right. I don't know what they call those.
Wine? Is that Wine?
Yeah, like Wine. The feel is quite a bit different. Like, I've tried to use GIMP before.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not quite the same. You just have to get used to it, I guess. So I think GIMP, although free, is not really going to take over Photoshop, especially when things like the Pirate Bay exist.
We should talk about piracy here, but fun fact, I used GIMP to create the original banner back, before Shuffling Dead was Shuffling Dead, back when we were on Angel Fire, back in 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
I used, GIMP had some quick kind of interesting font stuff you could do, and I used it to create.
You're a GIMPvention. Why are you using Paint still when you could be totally GIMPing it up?
Because I didn't continue using GIMP, and I find programs like Photoshop and GIMP to just be so feature-rich that I'm lost. I stare
just gotta take the time and
I stare at the buttons, and I wonder, what in the hell button am I supposed to select here? And then I start looking at the layers. I'm like, how the hell do I use layers?
Come on, once you know layers, you've got the program pretty much figured
it's
out.
It's so
add channels, add a few filters, and you're ready to go.
It's too good that it's intimidating, and I just find it overwhelming to use.
Well, that's another thing. Adobe also, because the full version of Photoshop CS4 right now is about $6.99 US. They do have, and that's like marketed obviously towards industry professionals. They do have Adobe Elements, which is basically a really watered-down Photoshop for the consumer. And you know what? I don't know how much it costs. Probably around $100-ish. And it competes, obviously, with, like, Nikon and Canon's and Panasonic's, probably. Little basic image.
Oh, those kind of come with cameras?
Editing things that you get with cameras. But, I mean, it's got the Adobe brand behind it.
Let's be honest here. Just about anybody who uses Photoshop pirates Photoshop. It has got to be
much.
The most pirated software out there by a wide
I'm pretty
margin.
Sure it is, along with, like, maybe Windows and Office.
It's, you know what, I think it's a because people buy Windows. People buy new computers.
They
it comes
do.
With Windows.
They do.
Nobody buys Photoshop.
You know what? Once I did buy Photoshop. I bought a student edition with a friend. So, I mean, there are ways to get legal copies of Photoshop at a less expensive
right. price. No, I agree.
They
but,
do have, like, student
But you've got to consider, like, think about how many
Here's
sites out there will have, like, Photoshop contests for their users, right?
Right.
They don't even care anymore. Every single one of those people pirated Photoshop
no.
to
Here's
make those
thing.
Submissions.
Industry professionals,
yeah.
they buy it.
Of
they
course.
Have to.
Yes.
Industry non-professionals, they either pirate or they have a fuck ton of money and they don't mind blowing it on Photoshop.
Yeah.
Or they use
paint
elements.
Like me.
Or they use paint like you. Why are you so proud of that? Anyway, I think it's amazing that Photoshop is 20, and I think any time that we can say, hooray Photoshop, we should definitely give a lot of thanks and pretty much worship John and Thomas Knoll for creating
Let me
such.
Ask you, do you think that these people who are, you know, just having fun doing Photoshop contests and stuff, are they justified in pirating Photoshop?
Don't ask me these questions. Do I think they're justified in pirating Photoshop? No. I really don't.
But I don't think Photoshop is justified charging $700 for a piece of software.
You know what? They might be. They really have no competitors other than, like, say, GIMP, which is pretty much Photoshop.
Well, in other words, so that's an argument to my side, because you're basically saying that they have a massive monopoly and can charge whatever
they
want.
You know why they have a monopoly, though? Because they're just so
ahead of the competition.
They actually, like, all you need is Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
It just is so everything you need. It does everything so well. They add such great features every time they bring a new one out. And CS5 is allegedly coming out pretty quick.
What does CS stand for?
I have no idea.
Because I didn't even know they started with these CSs.
That's Wikipedia, quick. Creative Suite.
Well, why did they start off with the Creative Suite? Because they were just...
There were
too many numbers in front of the name, so they just started doing
The
CS.
Well, it could also be because, like, a lot of the filters in Photoshop... Like, I'm just bullshitting right now.
Yeah.
A lot of the filters in Photoshop are actually little plugins, so they could have just added a whole bunch of those plugins and then called it Creative Suite.
Right, okay.
Because they're all included. I have no idea, though. Anyway... Photoshop, I love you.
Well, I hate it. It has too many buttons.
All right, let's move on.
Use Paint, folks.
Yeah, well, here's another funny thing about Paint, since you just won't stop trolling me here. The story, back to you, is how much you hate the new version of Paint that was, I think, included in Vista and now in Windows 7.
That's right. Well, I think specifically 7.
And I think part of the reason is there's not enough buttons.
I am running XP at home. And I'm quite comfortable.
Did you know Windows dropped support for XP a couple months back?
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I don't really
care. Did
you get with the times? I don't really care.
Oh, your PC can't run.
You know what? I wanted to get with the times, but then I used your version of Paint, and now I no longer want to get with the times.
You're just going to get left behind.
I am very familiar with the Paint that is more or less unchanged from at least Windows 95 forward.
You know what?
It does what I need it to do, and it works.
Everything needs to change.
But then they've got this Windows 7 Paint, which has basically all the same functionality, except it's organized in a completely confusing and ludicrous fashion.
You just gotta get used to it. Anyway, I'm cutting it there.
All right, let's
go. We don't need to hear you rant.
Here we go. This is a funny story. Call of Duty 7, confirmed for 2010. Surprise! Another Call of Duty's coming out. And it's going to be set in the Vietnam War. Who
cares? Why do you hate Call of Duty so
because
much?
Because it's... For every possible reason. This is Activision. You know, they actually came out and said, we want games that we can annualize and put out a new edition every year and just sell consumers the same bullshit game every year. So, with Call of Duty, it's kind of their premier franchise. They've got two studios that work on it. One of them is Treyarch. They're kind of the quote-unquote good studio. They do the Modern Warfare ones. The other studio, I forget the name of right now, Infinity Ward. I hope I haven't gotten these two mixed up. And Infinity Ward does the off-season Call of Duties. But between the two studios, they managed to put out a Call of Duty every single November. And here we go. 7's coming out this year. Big surprise. When you create games in this fashion, where it's specifically like, we have to have one of these games every year, it is perfect evidence these companies that are making these games and the people they employ to make these games are not, in their minds, producing anything resembling art. They're producing something to sell to the morons of the world. It's
rampant consumerism.
It's just consumerism. It's just like EA with Madden, with the updated roster every year. You know, I fully believe and would argue with anyone who disagrees with me that games are most certainly art. However, when they're treated in this fashion, they are not art. I don't know. It's like a new car model every year. Is that art? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Well, it's just so boring and stupid, and Call of Duty games are not good in the least.
Here's a really interesting story. Apple, known for its heavy moderation of iPhone applications, has actually gone and deleted about 5,000 iPhone apps.
5,000!
And they have some new guidelines for what is appropriate for app submissions. Care to take us through them?
Yeah, this is a hilarious story. I love this story. So these apps that were removed were deemed sexually inappropriate. And following their removal, Apple posted up some new guidelines for their app submission, whatever, guide that they have for developers. So here are the 7 rules. Number 1, no images of women in bikini. Number 2, no images of men in bikinis.
Wait. Couldn't they have combined these two guidelines into one simple guideline?
I was just going to say that. Why don't you just say no bikinis. People...
But what exactly does it mean to have no men in a bikini? Does that mean no Speedo? Or are they referring to like a Borat-like bikini?
I think both would fall under bikini.
Although Borat isn't technically... It's more of a one piece than a bikini.
You know what?
I'm thinking too hard about it.
It's a stringy thingy. It's beachwear.
So does that mean a one piece is okay?
Yeah, I would suspect.
So there's basically like no
what
centerfold girl apps at all allowed on your iPhone.
Well, interestingly enough, my source remarked on the no bikinis rule how. What a double standard that was, because in fact one of the most popular apps is the Sports Illustrated swimsuit app, which has not been removed. You're right, exactly. I guess that one was just a little too profitable.
Interesting.
Anyway, let's keep going on. Number 3, no skin. No legs? What about faces, people?
Yeah. No butts, no boobs, maybe they could have...
Number 4, no silhouettes.
Obviously...
I assume that means no silhouettes of naked people.
No, you know what I think it means? No iPhone silhouettes. You know how they used to have all those people dancing around?
Right.
When I read it, I was like, what do they mean, no silhouettes?
Yeah, that's a hallmark of Apple.
Anyway, I think you're probably more accurate than I was.
Right, but
it made me laugh.
It's really funny that they just say no silhouettes. Like,
yeah.
Number 5, no sexual connotations or innuendo.
So, well,
come on, that's like 99% of my humor. What am I going to do? And number 6, nothing that can be sexually arousing.
Well, so what if you get off on really weird things, then you get around
it? Haven't you ever heard of a shoe fetish, Apple? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a shoe app.
What if you get off on sleek,
you know,
Apple-designed hardware?
People get off on other people eating, and there's a lot of eating apps.
Yeah.
So,
what if you get off on apps that can identify music for you? Number 7, no apps will be approved that in any way imply sexual content. Why wasn't that the only rule? I mean, that pretty much covers it, doesn't it?
Doesn't Apple run a music store, if I'm not correct? And doesn't
it have a lot of
explicit songs and a lot of, like, sexually loaded songs? Why are they so restrictive about iPhone applications, but not about anything else?
Well, the other content on their stores, because obviously they have video with, you know, sexually suggestive things. They're offering up mainstream TV shows that obviously have sexually suggestive content.
Letting people access your podcast and...
Yeah, and...
It's quite...
Have you heard us?
Lewd, if I may.
Right. I mean, it's not... They're not hosting us, but obviously we are available on iTunes. By the way, subscribe on iTunes, rate and comment. Yeah, this is just nuts. You know, this is such an obvious sign that... this is so classically Apple, isn't it?
It is.
They insist on having total control, and ultimately it hurts them massively. It's just like keeping the old Macintosh a closed system.
And it's tinged with hypocrisy.
Absolutely. It's just awful. So, my joke on this one was, well, I guess if you want to... You know, have your portable device as a masturbation assistant at the back of the bus. You better get a droid, because the iPhone is no longer going to be of any use.
Absolutely unacceptable, Apple.
Just stupid.
So, you remember a long time ago, and by a long time ago, I mean like a span of months, there was that huge uproar about that Twitter feed, Shit My Dad Says.
Shit My Dad Says. No, I don't.
Oh, well... It was such a huge thing, and there was, like, you would go to his thing, and he'd be like, oh, might be getting a TV show, and apparently it's actually going
through. You actually follow this guy?
I don't follow him, but I was well aware of his Twitter feed for a long time.
This guy's a Twitter breakout star. Do we have his name here? Justin Halpern?
Halpern. Like Halpert from The Office.
Halpern? he created a Twitter account called Shit My Dad Says. And despite only running this thing for, what, a few months? A year?
Maybe like a year or so.
And, versus myself, who's run a blog requiring a lot of writing for years, 9 years, he's all of a sudden, he gets a TV.
You know what separates the two of you?
Please tell me.
Well, one of them has humorous content. Alright.
Well, I checked out this Twitter account with this story, and I did not find it very funny.
Well, maybe the old school stuff was funnier when he started it, and he's just running out of things.
Anyways, this guy's got a TV pilot for his Twitter account. He's going to create a sitcom for CBS.
It's not even Comedy Channel. It's actually going to be on CBS.
Yeah, which means it's sure not going to get called Shit My Dad Says.
Good point.
Anyway, Shatner signed on. William God Shatner signed on to star in the pilot of this show as the dad. Kind of a crotchety old dad, I'm imagining, who says lots of kind of semi-profound, semi-delusional things.
And, like, kills his wife.
Shatner did not kill his wife. Take it back.
Never.
Shatner did not kill his wife. He loved his wife, and if you listened to his album, you'd know that, because he talks about it in there.
I listened. I heard Pulp's Common Fiction, and I knew he common was on people. Common People, a sexual rampage with hotel heiresses and et cetera.
Heiresses. Well, it's Shatner. And
why Shatner? Why did they pick him of all people?
Well, because he's an old guy. He's believable as a crazy old dad.
There's so many other actors. I mean, I don't know.
You know, Shatner, it's really remarkable how busy this guy is. Did he
approach
them to? I doubt it.
They actually picked him out.
I would think so. Shatner is crazy busy. This guy is got to be the hardest working man on television, and he's so old.
How old is he? He doesn't look that old.
He's in his 70s, I think.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
And he's the Priceline negotiator.
70?
He just got done with his last TV show. Now he's up doing this one now. He's very crazy busy. I want him to do another album.
I don't know how I feel about that. What do you think the success chances of this?
Look, there are so many pilots that get made, and nothing ever happens with them. I give it, like, a 1% chance.
Ooh, not very good. I give it a 45% chance, because it has had a lot of hype. I mean, you may not have heard about it prior to, but there's been a lot of talk for a long time. So I think there might be enough people that it could possibly go somewhere.
And it's got Shatner attached to it.
And it's got a huge name. Yeah.
One other thing of note. I noticed that this guy's Twitter account is following just one person, and it happens to be LeVar Burton.
Who's LeVar Burton?
He played Geordi LaForge on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Who's Geordi LaForge?
He started out as the pilot of the Enterprise, and then was moved over to being chief engineer in the course of the series. He was the guy who wore the visor.
Oh, the black guy.
Yeah, that's right. So, my guess is that this Justin guy, he's probably already a Star Trek fan, so this might be a pretty good fit. Well, Salsi, this week was Nerd Olympics, which means that we were pretty slack in terms of updating, because we were so busy.
Yeah.
So, we've just got a couple of non-news stories to get through here. Shameful Human of the Week, Mike Hickey. This guy is a analyst for Janco Partners, and he did a pretty in-depth little Nostradamian-style prediction session regarding the health of the games industry, and specifically talked about Nintendo, what he feels they need to do to combat competition from Sony and Microsoft, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, Shameful Human, because his predictions are so stupid. Let's be honest here.
What's he saying?
He's saying Nintendo has to immediately cut the price of the Wii by another $50, because he says they need to establish as meaningful of an install base as possible. I find that hilarious, because the Wii has outsold both the Wii 360 and PS3 massively. In fact, worldwide, Wii sales are equal to the other two combined.
Are Natal and Arc?
Natal and Arc are the Sony and Microsoft motion control devices.
I see, I see.
Arc is Sony's wand, Natal is Microsoft motion detection.
Nintendo has pretty much established a standard that these two need to keep up with.
Right, exactly. This guy obviously doesn't understand Nintendo's Blue Ocean business strategy, which I'm not going to explain in detail here, but you can look it up. It's very interesting. Basically, this guy is saying that despite the fact that Nintendo established this trend in the games industry, has owned the competition and all of the headlines regarding video games this generation, he's still saying, oh, I don't know, Sony and Microsoft are bigger companies, they're going to win. Well, no, they're not. They've already lost. Give it a rest. I hear it all the time from these jackass analysts.
Sony and PlayStation?
Microsoft.
Microsoft have lost before they even released their motion sensor.
This generation is almost over.
This generation, yeah, but what about next? You can't say they lost before they're released.
They've lost. Give it up. Look, before things started this generation, all the analysts were just giving it to Sony. They were just like, it's Sony's. They've won. They didn't even consider the competition before it started. Then Nintendo had an amazing debut with the Wii. It took off like crazy, and all the analysts were like, don't worry, Sony will still win. It's just a fad. It's just a fad. Here we are, what, like 3-4 years into this generation? Guys, I hate to break to you. You were wrong. Nintendo won. Get over it. Sony's not coming back this generation. Wait another year or two, and we'll see next generation. But I'm sorry, it's not going to happen with these new devices that are just add-ons for existing consoles. It's not going to work. Whatever this guy's name is.
Mike Hickey?
Mike Hickey, you're wrong, and you're shameful.
Who does he work for?
Janko Partners.
And are they, like, run by Sony or something?
No, it's an independent analyst group, I think.
Interesting.
Here's your favorite subject.
Oh no, Star Trek episode of the week. It better be better than last week.
Why don't you cover
this
one?
Last week's was so epically horrendous with the whole orgasm ghost thing. Oh my god, scarred me for life. So this week you picked out Fairhaven from the 6th season Voyager. And there's somebody called Janeway, who I'm assuming is a
She's the captain of the ship.
And
she's a girl. That's her last name.
A hologram, which every time I see a hologram, I think of Red Dwarf. And I laugh a little bit inside.
Yeah, I think Red Dwarf is a parody of Star Trek, so it's a little funny to me that you could
like
that show.
Yeah, but I actually watched Red Dwarf, and it was hilarious.
So is this.
Unlike Star Trek.
Well, this episode was pretty hilarious. I don't think Janeway actually bangs a hologram, but what happens is that...
So last week, didn't they go to Scotland?
No, it was a human colony on another planet that was trying to be Scotland.
Because apparently this one is, like, Irish.
Yeah, well, the story behind this one is that Tom Paris, he creates Fairhaven, which is this hokey Irish town. And then Voyager encounters this kind of space storm, and they're going to have to batten down the hatches and sit through it. So they're going to be stuck in the ship doing nothing for a little while. So Janeway and Paris, they go, let's just keep this hologram program running, and we'll let the crew hang out in this town of Fairhaven that Paris has created. Which is, like, the most boring thing you could possibly do with a holodeck. Can you imagine the sick sexual fantasies that you could act out in the holodeck every single day? Or you could go to any location imaginable, you can go there in the holodeck.
Well, apparently someone got a hard-on from going to wherever they went.
Yeah, well, it sounds mega boring. Anyway, there's a bartender that Janeway meets in the town. She falls in love with him. She keeps modifying his program. She makes him smarter. She makes him a poet.
Modifying his programming.
Yeah, that's right. How would you feel about that?
No comment. It sounds retarded.
Yeah, this episode's awful. I cannot imagine why anyone would want to hang out in a sleepy Irish town full of villagers with bad fake Irish accents.
If you like alcohol and bartenders and poets.
Well,
Maybe he was an eight-dick pleasure monster, though. Did we ever see him without his pants on?
No, we do not see his dick.
What kind of modifications was she making? Just making him more
personality modification.
So, your quote was, delete the wife.
You're right. So one of the first things Janeway learns about her new man is, he's married. And she goes, delete the wife.
What a bitch.
And then all of a sudden he's single. He's a single hologram up for the taking.
Nice. Well, at least she has standards.
Yeah, I guess she wasn't going to let him
be
cheat.
The other woman.
All right. Comic, and then we'll talk about Nerd Olympics.
All right.
Neckbeard and Wolf shirt this week. Specifically, actually, about Nerd Olympics. Are we going to act this one out like we usually
sure
do?
Are.
Who are you this week?
I am Wolfshirt.
You didn't do very well at Nerd Olympics.
I was robbed! Robbed! The events I was best at were turned into slapdash randomness due to time constraints.
But you still got beaten by giant noobs.
I shall give no quarter. You know what I think Wolfshirt should do?
What?
Lodge a complaint to the INLC for running such a crappy couple of events.
Whoa.
Because obviously they were not very organized and it turned into some mild chaos.
Wow.
What do you think about that? I'm just joking. The INLC did such a good
Let's
job.
Let's talk about Nerd Olympics.
Yeah, so, we might as well just get right to it. Don't play with
I think we explained what this is last week, so we shouldn't... I mean, we don't need to go into too much detail. And if you want to learn more, you can check out our latest video at youtube.com/Marnax, M-A-R-N-A-X. The video is called The Dungeon, Nerd Olympics 2010, Part 1 of 4. And you can learn all about how Nerd Olympics works. And we're going to have more videos, and you can see all the action in Nerd Olympics.
But let's give our lucky podcast listeners a little bit of a spoiler for how we did at the Nerd Olympics.
Okay.
We'll actually reveal it in the video, but I think you guys are so awesome. You deserve something a little extra special.
All right.
So, how'd you do day one?
No medals.
Ouch.
How'd you do?
I got a medal in Constructed Magic, the Legacy Tournament. I got a silver.
Spectacular.
Very good job.
First
time I played Magic with someone other than you.
I did very poorly.
Yeah, and I was using a core deck with armor, and I don't think anybody knew how to deal with it. Because
no.
Armor is pretty awesome. And
equipment you're talking about.
Yeah, equipment.
Yeah, you did very well.
What did you play with?
I played a white-blue control deck, which is kind of my favorite deck, and when you and I trained... I beat you almost every game.
No, you didn't. There was a couple times I beat you.
But most of the time I beat you.
Hey, don't bring me down from my...
So I don't know how you did it, but you did it.
You jerk.
The truth is my deck was ill-equipped to deal with even creature-based decks. Or really any decks of any fashion. So, yeah, it was pretty disappointing. And I'm proud of you because I'm your teacher. And you did my teaching well.
Good. How about day two? Did you make any comebacks?
Day two, I had my comeback. Day two was when we did Tetris and Mario Kart. We were running out of time because the Magic Draft was the first event. It took a really long time, way longer than we were anticipating. And by the way, I bombed on that. How did you do?
On the draft?
Yeah.
You know what? I had no defense against flying. I pulled... red and black, and I made a really fast creature-based deck with a couple of enchantments that would destroy the other person's creatures if I could manage to pull them, but unfortunately, flying creatures just destroyed me. What about you?
Yeah, I built, I guess, kind of a blue-black with a little red control sort of a deck. Did not work in the least, I'm afraid to say.
We had a lot of fun.
But anyway, yeah, it was a fun time. Anyways, that took so much time that we had to really speed up the following events, which meant Mario Kart and Tetris were shortened severely. And I would argue that the end result was the results ended up being a lot more random than they should have been. These were the two events that I was favored in.
You're not getting medals.
I sure was, and I got kicked out very early in the tournaments. So that's my excuse. But the truth is, I did still have to lose in order to lose.
So did you come out of Nerd Olympics empty-handed?
No, because we had a Rock Band tournament. where I got assigned to a team that was quite good. I was certainly the lead weight. But in the end, we pulled through with the bronze despite my awful drumming. Did you do Rock Band?
No, I opted out for Rock Band.
Why is that?
Because I don't have any practice on instruments, and I'm pretty sure you were pretty saturated with singers, so...
You're a great singer, though.
I've been told that a lot of people hate my voice. I'm sorry, podcast listeners.
Yeah, this is all audio. But, yeah, people on the internet have not been kind to you, have they?
No, they sure haven't. But that's alright. I still love everybody on the internet.
Aw, everybody on the whole internet?
Everybody.
Well, that's a lot of people.
I know.
And then we had one of my favorite events, was Nerd Trivia, which Wes Gamow put together. It's a 20-question little survey. We are randomly assigned to groups of three.
I didn't even sign up for the event, and I got stuck in the
event. Yeah, you got drafted. Well, you know, we got a number of people divisible by three.
A dead weight.
A lot of people were, don't worry about it. Anyways, Wes Gamow makes the quiz just ruthlessly difficult, and this year was no exception. The winning team had 9.5 out of possible 21 points. So... Anyway, I had a great team. I had a lot of kind of the random movie trivia knowledge. And things like, who was the creator of Magic the Gathering? Of course, Dr. Richard Garfield. Things like that. I had one teammate who was very knowledgeable about Final Fantasy. Another one very knowledgeable about Harry Potter. And together we worked very well and we ended up coming second place, silver.
My team got 3.75 points out of 20, and I think we were either last or second to last.
Yeah.
And the guy on my team, Demuser,
right.
He was a little drunk at the time, but anyway, he had submitted a few questions, and he didn't even remember the answers to his own questions.
Yeah, that was spectacular.
But on the, I can't hate on him too hard, because I think any answer that was correct,
he
is the one that answered them. So.
Yeah, well, good work, Wes Gamow, as challenging as ever. Anyway, check out our videos for more Nerd Olympics coverage. I think it's time to wrap up for this week, unless you've got anything else, Salsi?
No, I think that about covers it.
So, as always, thanks for listening. This has been the Shuffling Deadcast, shufflingdead.com podcast. Romero, you can learn more about everything you've heard today by visiting shufflingdead.com. Check out the show notes. We linked to all the stories we discussed. Check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/shufflingdead. Shuffling Dead is all one word, by the way. Plus, on Facebook, you'll have to search up shufflingdead.com. Become a fan. We need 100 fans. We need it. We need it bad. Because when we get 100 fans, we can actually get a proper... clean URL on Facebook. That would be nice. As we've said before, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/Marnax, M-A-R-N-A-X. And as I've been saying, if you submit feedback to us, hosts, H-O-S-T-S, at shufflingdead.com, I personally guarantee you that we will cover your feedback, questions, concerns, spam,
trolling, praise.
Well, yeah, if you actually want to praise us, whatever. I guarantee you we will cover it on the show. We will talk about your feedback on the show. So, come on, send it in, because we need something for next week. So, send it our way.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode 5.
Oh, already. That's right. We should always mention the number, shouldn't we?
This
is episode 5 of Shuffling Deadcast. You believe that we made it this far?
I sure can.
What a milestone.
It's a dream come true.
Yeah. thanks for listening, everybody.
Good night.